Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. This Thursday means the start of a new week around the National Football League and a new week in college football as well. It's week four in the NFL. It's week five in CFB. We get you set for everything you need to know here on Football Full Circle, part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. You might be listening on Sirius XM channel 159. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. If you are watching on YouTube, you might be seeing behind Joe a stadium aerial. Is that Baton Rouge? Is that Death Valley in Tiger Stadium?
Yes, absolutely. I can't wait to go there. We might have a college football today on location. Garrett Nussmeier, Kyron Lacy. How about a little Caden Durham in your life? How about that?
I've been told that Joe Lisi is the man to make the deals get done, so we shall see. We'll talk about deals in college football with a lot of action yesterday outside of the actual games as we enter week five, and of course the NIL conversation circulating around UNLV and its now former quarterback Matthew Sluka. But we start, Lisi guy, with a preview of Thursday night football in the National Football League. Not all that many news and notes throughout this week in the NFL up until this point, but we'll provide a few after we preview TNF, our third short week Thursday night football game of the year, our second consecutive one inside MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. The New York Giants play host to the Dallas Cowboys, an NFC East divisional duel. The Cowboys now, Lisi guy, 5.5-point road favorite, total 45.5. I think the line working in favor of Dallas throughout this week. It opened at 4.5, a clear indication. The betting market knows it. The public knows it. Dallas knows it. It's time to put up or shut up after a disappointing 1-2 start.
It really is, and sometimes going on the road actually helps that to get away from home, especially when you look at the Dallas Cowboys dropping back-to-back home games to the Saints and last week to the Ravens, and a team that they have dominated in recent years in terms of the New York Giants. But again, you know, we've seen Daniel Jones and that offense at least bounce back in back-to-back games, showing more identity. Malik Nabers has become the main target, one of the best wide receivers in the NFC right now, if not all the NFL. And they're going to be live, I think, tonight. I think I favor a lower scoring game, Ben, but I think New York potentially could be within the number. And don't be shocked. They're playing with a little bit of house money that they could strike the upset tonight in MetLife.
Listen, Lisi guy, since the start of last season, 2023, under Brian Daboll, New York has been booked as the underdog in 19 of 20 previous games. Tonight will mark the 19th consecutive game the G-Men have been an underdog. It was week two last year, the only time as a favorite on the road in Arizona, laying a little bit more than a field goal. They did win that game, but did not cover as a field goal plus favorite. They won 31 28. But Lisa, guy, as an underdog in the 19 games since the start of last season, they are 9-9-1 against the spread. They have been an underdog in all three games this year, but catching just a point and a half in their first 2 weeks. Humiliated at home, the only home game New York has played so far by the Minnesota Vikings, week number one. And then a game they probably should have won week two in Washington against the Commanders. If they had a field goal kicker, they probably would have won that game. But what's so interesting, Joe, to me, is where the Giants are now. 5.5-point underdog, line opened at 4.5. The Giants are a part of the year of the dog through 3 weeks in the NFL. Of course, we have shared it numerous times. Underdogs of 5.5 points or greater this year are now 14-2 against the spread with 10 outright victories. The Giants, one of those 14, one of those 10, winning outright as a 6.5-point underdog against Cleveland last week.
Yeah, and again, you know, we've seen a hint of a rushing attack with Devin Singletary. He's certainly not Saquon Barkley, but they're still running the football effectively. And think about this in regards to just underdogs as a whole, right? I mean, divisional opponent, that's added, obviously, you know, motivation right. regards to that. And Dallas's defense, Ben, can't stop the run. I mean, Derrick Henry, a buck 51. I mean, Baltimore put up over 200 yards on the ground. Alvin Kamara rushed for over 100 yards in for that sure. matchup. If they can't stop the run tonight, especially Daniel Jones and Singletary, how are they going to win this game? It doesn't matter how many points Dak Prescott puts up. The defense has been just as bad as any of the worst teams in the NFL right now.
No doubt. Dallas's only win this year, week number one, also against the Browns, also as a road underdog in the land. The last few weeks, Dallas has been playing from a huge deficit, both at the start. Lisa, you said this earlier, might actually be good for the Cowboys to leave the Fort Worth area and make their way now to New York. They're 4-1 against the spread as a road favorite since the start of last year, covering by more than 8 points per game. And they have now lost 3 consecutive home games, snapping a 19-game home win streak overall last year against the Packers and a 16-game home regular season win streak that was snapped week two by the Saints. We'll talk about Dak Prescott in just a moment. In terms of points, Lisa guy, 45.5 is the total. Dallas is one of only two teams where points have been at a premium so far in 2024 around the National Football League that has gone over in all three games, the Cowboys and the team they lost to last week at home, the Ravens. Dallas over by nearly double digits on average, 9.8 points per game. And again, scoring has been limited in the NFL this year. The Giants, one of 8 teams, Lisa guy, that enter week 4 going under in all 3 of their games. How much offense do you expect to see tonight at MetLife?
I lean to the under. That doesn't mean this game can't blow into the 50s. I'll readjust as the game starts. But yeah. I think in order for New York to win, they do favor a lower scoring game, more methodical, obviously sustained drives, and they don't want to get into a shootout or with Dak Prescott that potentially has the best player on the field in regards to C.D. Lamb, right? So that's the matchup. If you're going to back the Giants, I think you lean to the under. You want to take Cowboys, you lean to this game potentially gets into the mid-50s and hope that Daniel Jones makes more mistakes than Dak.
Yeah, Lisa guy, for what it's worth, our two previous short week Thursday night football games have stayed under their pregame total. The Bills and the Dolphins in Miami week 2. Last week in MetLife, low scoring affair, under 38.5, 24-3. The Jets were victorious over the Patriots. Now let's talk that offense. Dak Prescott, throughout meetings this week, meeting with the media, in press conferences, holding up the onus at himself, saying we were unprepared, we were unprofessional last week. CeeDee Lamb has admitted, hey, I got my paycheck, I need to come out now and produce. Dak Prescott is actually, Joe, the leading passer in the NFL through 3 weeks, 851 yards, threw for 379 last week against the flock. But part of that is, of course, because Dallas has played from a huge deficit in both of their two losses this year to the Saints and to the Ravens. In fact, in the Cowboys' only win so far this year, Dak Prescott in Cleveland had less than 180 yards. His passing yards prop tonight, Lisa guy, 256.5 against the Giants.
Yeah, again, you know, I think he leans under that tonight because I favor a lower scoring game. But again, if you're a Dallas fan and you're backing Dak, he needs to get to around 300, 3.25 push tempo. Again, that number is a little tempered right? So that lean, when I see that number, we have a little bit bad weather outside too. It's rainy, a little overcast. Does that factor into the matchup as well?
It is a good point, Lisa Guy. A little bit rainy, a little bit humid, a little bit wet here in the greater northeast in New York City area. Daniel Jones on the other side, Lisa Guy, 201 in a hook over that number in the Giants' only win of the year last week in Cleveland. And after a dismal first week where he was getting booed out of MetLife by his own fans and he did not throw a touchdown and had two interceptions, no interceptions the last 2 weeks, multiple touchdown passes in both. What's your expectation for Daniel Jones tonight?
I think he gets it maybe close to it. I'm not so sure he gets over it, but I think he makes some plays with his legs, Ben.
We'll talk the ground game. We'll talk the top targets on the outside for both the G-Men and the Cowboys for Thursday Night Football up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We set the stage for Thursday Night Football to kick off week number four of this NFL season. Tonight in East Rutherford, New Jersey, inside MetLife Stadium, the Giants, a 5.5-point home underdog against the Dallas Cowboys. And Joe, on the ground, it has been dismal and disappointing for Dallas so far this season. On either side of the line of scrimmage, offensively averaging less than 74 yards per game on the ground, Ezekiel Elliott looks like a ghost. Is Rico Dowdle really a lead back? What about Deuce Vaughn? Can he catch fire? Regardless, they're averaging less than 74 yards per game, third worst in the National Football League. And defensively, it's even worse. Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, and the flock still running at the star. They put up 274 yards last week. Dallas, the worst rushing defense in the NFL after 3 weeks, allowing nearly 186 yards per game. So, Lisa Guy, when you look at the rushing yards props for tonight, for the Giants, Devin Singletary, 62.5. Danny Dimes, 31.5. Rico Dowdle has the highest number for Dallas. It's 37.5. Zeke, 27.5. I mean, these are not numbers that you would expect for a prolific Dallas offense that has been anything but that word prolific so far this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, game flow has played into one of the games in regards to how bad they fell behind. And even last week against Baltimore, I mean, they blinked and they were down by double digits. But that happened with Dak throwing the interceptions against New Orleans. But if they're going to win this game on the road, it can't just be Dak Prescott lighting it up. You want to work off of play action. You want to at least establish the line of scrimmage. And Dowdle, I think, has the best option out of the Dallas running backs to get over that. 37.5, I mean, that's nothing. I mean, that should be, what, a couple of drives potentially feeding Rico Dowdle the rock? Why would you give it to Zeke? I know Zeke is the fan favorite, but he's old. He's at the end of his career. You want to utilize him in special, you know, short yardage situations. That's great, but he can't be the bell cow of this team, Ben. I mean, I almost forgot Deuce Vaughn was there, and he's only a second-year guy. How crazy is that they don't even utilize him correctly?
Yeah, Lisa Guy, through 3 weeks, Rico Dowdle has the most rushing attempts, 23. Zeke second with 19. Deuce Vaughn third. He has 7 carries. CeeDee Lamb even has 3 carries. You're right. Part of that is game script dependent, right? They have trailed so quickly and by so much in their last 2 games against New Orleans and then, of course, against Baltimore. They had to throw to play from behind to try to make up the gap as quickly as possible. So let's talk the aerial attack. We talked about Dak Prescott. CeeDee Lamb, Joe, 24 targets this year, but only 13 grabs. He even said it this week. Listen, I have not been worth my paycheck. I got the bag. I got to deliver. He is not so far. Only 1 touchdown. When I look at CeeDee Lamb tonight, it's actually first and foremost finding pay dirt at a minus 130 price. But his receiving yards props, his yardage, 80.5, 6.5 receptions.
Yeah, 73.5 is doable, I think, in the yardage department, but I did take an anytime touchdown in a parlay. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was minus 105 last night. Could be wrong. Did radio last night, but I mean, for him to get 2 tonight, it's a 5-1 number. So keep an eye out for that. If he's going to be fed early and often and you lean to the over, that might be a way to look for CeeDee Lamb. But again,
yeah.
Star wide receivers. We saw Ja'Marr Chase, right, walk through the first couple of weeks of the regular season. He got hugely and a big impact in regards to that loss against Washington, over 100 yards. You got to feed your best player, right? So if they're going to throw it, I look Jake Ferguson and I look CeeDee Lamb.
Jake Ferguson, leading receiver last week, 6 grabs for 95 yards. His prop tonight, 42.5. CeeDee Joe now up to minus 140 to find Pater. Just quickly, if you think game script follows where the Cowboys play from in front tonight, but Dak still has a good night through the air as Dallas has mightily struggled on the ground so far this season. For Dak Prescott to record at least 100 passing yards in the opening half, Joe, 100, not even halfway to 256.5 in a half, it's minus 105. That's how I would approach it. Lisa Guy, on the other side, the leading target, not only for the G-men, but in all of the NFL, it's the rookie wideout who used to play right behind you. That's Malik Nabers. 37 targets so far this season. Double digits in each of the past 2 weeks. At least 66 receiving yards in all 3 games in his NFL career. 3 receiving touchdowns the last 2 weeks. How crucial is Malik Nabers to the Giants offense tonight if New York can keep this game close?
Oh, he's got a huge impact, and not just obviously in terms of productivity, but running off the secondary and the linebackers, especially if New York wants to run the football with Singletary and Daniel Jones in terms of the RPO game. So I think it's a good look. I think Nabers, again, what did he have, 75-2 last week? Look for that to continue, Ben.
72.5 is his prop, 6.5 his receptions prop. Frankly, Joe, I was hoping it'd be a little bit lighter, still new to the NFL. They have already caught up. I would not advise betting the under on that number. I would not take any unders on Malik Nabers, but the market has already caught up to the fact that he is the top target in New York. Earlier on the show, on the early line, Lisa Guy, we had Tom Vecchio come on. He highlighted a very interesting prop tonight. Theo Johnson, the rookie tight end for the Gigantes, under 14.5 receiving yards. I kind of like the number for the big 6'6", 260 guy out of Winnipeg. Only has 21 receiving yards in full this year. And if the Giants are going to focus on the ground against a bad Dallas defense up front, then maybe Theo Johnson doesn't get a lot of love in the pass game. What do you say?
For me, here's the thing. I hate playing unders, especially when the number is so low. So it would be a no play for me, but it's a pretty good look, Ben.
So also, Lisa Guy, I was going to keep an eye on the defensive props once they came out for tonight's game. Micah Parsons, minus 166 to record a sack tonight. Only has 1 sack so far this season. But if I'm not mistaken, that came actually week 1 against the Cleveland Browns. You know who's been pretty good for New York? It's Brian Burns, plus 102 to record a sack tonight. Dak has been sacked at least 3 times in all 3 games so far this season. A lot of that is because the defense can pin their ears back and go and get him, but not a bad look.
No, it's not. It's not a bad look. Obviously, sacks are going to be crucial to game flow and obviously defensive stops, so I like the look.
We'll talk some other quarterback injury news around the National Football League to get you ready for week 4. Up next, live right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We've given you the quarterback comparison to start week 4 tonight on a Thursday at MetLife between the Giants and the Cowboys. Let's talk some other quarterback injury news around the National Football League. Lisi, one of the games that I am most looking forward to in that early window on Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern time, divisional duel at Lambeau. The Packers host the undefeated Minnesota Vikings. Green Bay, 2.5-point home favorite. Jordan Love, limited, but back at practice yesterday for Green Bay. Do you think we will see Jordan Love play on Sunday? Or will it be start number 3 in a row for Malik Willis?
Again, I think there's a pretty good shot, maybe 80 to 85% Jordan Love starts. But again, we talked about this in regards to Green Bay big picture. There's no reason to rush him back if he's not medically cleared, if he's not 100%, or there's the risk that if he gets hurt immediately, he's going to be out for the rest of the year, right? So they're winning games with Malik Willis. There is no need to rush Jordan Love back. I think from what I've seen, he looks like it's an 85% go, but we won't know until game time. You know, just put into the cap that Malik Willis is going to start. The fact that they're at home, I mean, this is a good recipe. When Green Bay's at home, they play well. They're running the football. And again, can that momentum that Sam Darnold has built up, can that continue? How about the defense, though, too, Ben? Can that maintain that level?
So that's what I was going to say, Lisa guy. They only allowed 38 yards on the ground last week against Houston. Again, part of that was game script dependent. They took it right to the Texans and won that game 34-3. But they're the second best rushing defense in the NFL alongside Pittsburgh. Both teams only allowing 71 yards per game. We have seen Green Bay be great on the ground with Malik Willis. He has been the anchor of that offense, as Matt LaFleur has been incredibly creative and successful in designing the scheme. Let me ask you it like this. If we learn Jordan Love is going to start on Sunday, does that line go north of a field goal?
I think it does. I think it does. You know, again, I think with Jordan Love in there, that offense is much more prolific. They found a recipe to keep games close and obviously win them and dominate the way they did against Tennessee. But a part of that is, you know, that was Will Levis. This is Sam Darnold. This is a different animal. This is an undefeated football team. And no matter how good, you know, you might think Green Bay is, you know, Minnesota is going to give it their best shot. And again, I still think that Green Bay wins this game. I think they're the better team big picture, even though Minnesota short term is maybe playing slightly better. Give me Green Bay no matter who starts.
Listen, the NFC North looks as compelling as we thought it might entering this year. The Bears haven't been great, but the Packers and Malik Willis, 2-0 in his starts, 2-1 this season. The Lions, solid, 2-1 in Minnesota, the surprising undefeated team at 3-0. Not only are the Vikes one of the five remaining unbeatens in the NFL at 3-0, they are also one of two teams that are perfect ATS, 3-0 against the spread for Minnesota, twice outright as a home underdog the last 2 weeks. Joe, we heard from Justin Herbert yesterday after Chargers practice, feeling better, but still a little bit too early to determine his actual status for Sunday afternoon at home as the Bolts get ready to host the Chiefs. We thought this could be a compelling week four first divisional game for, not LA, they actually hosted Las Vegas, but for Kansas City. Now it seems a little bit different. The Chargers might only have some quarterback questions, but also some questions along the offensive line. Joe Alt seems like he's going to miss a few weeks. Rashawn Slater, the left tackle, his status in doubt. It's why KC is a full touchdown favorite on the road.
Yeah, and again, if Herbert can't go, then it'll be what? Taylor Heineke, right? That has experience in regards to that matchup. Didn't show all that well against Pittsburgh, but he's still a veteran. And you know what? Obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs, I think, are the right side, Ben. But I would take the over in this game. I think they're going to have to open it up with Joe Alt being hurt a little bit. They're going to stack the box and force Heineke to beat them over the top. Look for maybe a big game out of Quentin Johnson and those wide receivers to get involved. And Pat Mahomes can put up points. So yeah, I think this total is a little bit light considering their circumstances. Give me KC. Give me the over.
It is a little bit light. At least it is sub 40, 39.5. When's the last time we saw a Chiefs game feature a total less than 40? It's what we have right now for Sunday inside SoFi. Andy Dalton remains the starter in Carolina. He'll be back at home in Charlotte. They're getting 4.5 from the winless Bengals. Does that look a little bit enticing to you?
Oh, I think they batter him. I think, again, I think this is a game Cincinnati steps up against.
You do. Maybe the over then? Bengals offense has been good. Defense has been dreadful. Carolina, a lot of points last week in Las Vegas, 36.
No way.
All right. College football talk next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
This week, the world needs actual college football games after all the off-the-field conversations that we have seen in the last 24 to 36 hours. Conference realignment. Will they, won't they, between the Pac-12 and the Mountain West, where they really look like one big conference waiting to shake hands. And then, of course, Lisi guy, yesterday morning, I'm sure you guys detailed it here on FFC, UNLV starting quarterback, now former UNLV starting quarterback, Matthew Sluka, after three games and a perfect unbeaten start for the Rebs for the first time since the mid-80s, deciding to redshirt the remainder of this season to keep his eligibility of a full year and hit the transfer portal. Because, as he and his representation state, UNLV unfulfilled promises about what was guaranteed to him in a verbal agreement to transfer from Holy Cross. NIL payments upwards of six figures, $100,000 that apparently Sluka only received a $3,000 stipend to move out to Sin City. Lisi guy, we texted about this a little bit yesterday. What did you make of it overall?
Well, this is where we're headed, right, Ben? It's almost like using leverage against a program or a university if they don't like the way things are going their way. Now, I don't know the whole story, and we're only going off of reports. Is the university correct? Is you know, the quarterback correct and the agent? All I know is I read the university. They said they met and fulfilled everything that was asked and you know, fulfilled as it regards to the scholarship and NIL. You got to believe them up until this point, right? Now, the other factor is, too, is that it never takes into account the team aspect. I mean, we keep going. This kid's fighting with his team. They're 3-0, and obviously he's more concerned about the money that was guaranteed. You know, he went from Holy Cross to UNLV, fighting for a college football playoff berth. You tell me, what's more important? I don't know.
Listen, Lisi guy, I don't disagree with your statement. It is still a team sport. You can see that everybody in Las Vegas is very excited for Malik Hodge Williams, I'll look it up real quick, to take over
He's
as
mobile.
The starting quarterback. He is the Campbell transfer from the fighting Camels. But Lisi guy, Hodge Malik Williams, that was correct. Excuse me there. But Lisi guy, it is very interesting, right? Because I think it exhibits all the negatives and the pitfalls of this new ecosystem in college football. It is the danger of NIL. You just expressed it there, Joe. We all want to point the finger. And there are many fingers to be pointed around. Whose fault is it? Who needs to be held accountable and responsible? But in the end of the day, nobody is ever going to step up and take the blame. Nobody is going to admit their fault. Why? Because legally, nothing is assigned to these NIL deals. I think you blame Sluka's NIL representation, Marcus Cromartie, who's not even legalized to represent him in the state of Nevada. So even if they had a true contract, it would have meant nothing in terms of its legal standing. But a verbal agreement with an assistant coach at UNLV means nothing. The UNLV football program is not responsible for Matthew Sluka. Yes, they are in correspondence with their NIL collective, but Sluka is not an employee of UNLV as a university, nor of the athletic department. Thus, they're not on the hook for this. And the collective can say, I don't give a damn what one of our coaches promised him. We didn't agree to a contract, and thus, poof, it vanishes. It's gone in thin air. And that's my issue with this. And that's what was exposed yesterday. There is no standardized contract for NIL, which means there is zero transparency and honesty about what requirements, if there are even any contractual obligations, were met or were not met and were left unfulfilled. And Sluka is not an employee of the university, and collectives do not need to pay unless they sign the bottom line as well. It is a dangerous game, and we are in this spot, in this system, because back in July 2021, the NCAA said, you know what? You guys figure it out. State by state, I'm sure it's going to work out. Best of luck, guys. And that's why we are here. So if you're looking for somebody to blame, as always, it's the NCAA.
It is. And even the loophole about this red shirt with the four games. I mean, it used to be a red shirt was because the kid got hurt. And obviously, right. You grant them another year of eligibility. With the unfortunate circumstances of the pandemic, we granted another year of eligibility. Now it's the four games, and these kids are using it as leverage to move on from program to program to program. And I've said the NCAA is to blame. But now it's the Wild West. And here's the other factor, sure. And I've said this, you know, NIL money should be tied to the tenure at the school. Meaning, we saw Quinn Ewers, right, enroll at Ohio State, then move to Texas. Well, guess what? If you took money from Texas's NIL situation and you didn't step on the field, you relinquish or forfeit that money, go get it at Ohio State. It can't be where bigger is better all the time. There's got to be an end to this. Otherwise, we're just killing ourselves, and the sport is the one to blame. Now, USC's D-tackle did the same thing. He committed to Georgia and then backed out. Decommitted, committed, transferred, and now he's not playing for USC either. I mean, come on.
Well, right. We'll get to Bear Alexander and Michael Allen, a backup running back for the Running Rebs, who decided to get in all the notoriety and attention that he could yesterday. Those are two different things, though, as opposed to Matthew Sluka. But, Lisi, what you just laid out is a standard workplace agreement. It is a standard contract. If you are working anywhere, even as a freelancer, you have signed a workers' agreement. There are contractual obligations that you must fulfill or meet. And Lisi, what you just said, the Wild West, it's like we like to talk about in the NIL and transfer portal era. It is so much worse than the Wild West. Oh, it's like free agency in the NFL. It is not even close to that. In the NFL, you sign a contract so that if you break the contract, there are legal consequences. If you do not meet your requirements, there are consequences that must be met. And that is the issue with where we stand right now. It's like, Lisi, I saw this example yesterday from a guy named Trill Withers on Twitter, who does a great job in a lot of sports, but he's like, it's a drug deal gone bad. Who are you going to complain to? Are you going to call the cops and say, hey, this drug deal did not work out the way that I expected it to? Nothing has a legal record to it. And even further, there's no cops in this situation. There's no legislative arm. There's no jurisdiction. The NCAA is trying to enact a task force. But what can they even prove without a signed legal document, which, of course, we do not have in this case? Now, for that to be said, Joe, we are seeing the red shirt rule that was updated a few years ago being exploited. Because this is all happening entering week five, although the programs we are mentioning, UNLV and USC, have only played three games, you can play up to four games in a season redshirt and maintain that full year of eligibility. So we saw Matthew Sluka do it because of unfulfilled NIL promises, and his teammate at UNLV, Michael Allen, who was a transfer from NC State. But as Allen himself said, Joe, this had nothing to do with money or NIL deals. It was because of a lack of playing time. Same story for Bear Alexander for USC. He was getting his role diminished because he's not nearly as good as people thought he was as a high school recruit, and he wants to be a starter somewhere. But they are taking advantage and exploiting this redshirt rule, and that's why we see this all happening before the Week 5 timeline.
Yeah, I mean, obviously for fourth stringers and third stringers and role players that, like you mentioned, Bear Alexander, aren't starters or getting their roles diminished, I understand wanting to go and play for a university that you're going to have an opportunity to start. But we see it too much across the board, Ben. They have to put an end to it at some point within the next year.
Lisi, guy, I don't think even Matthew Sluka, despite the financial issues that maybe you believe he had, how they really find a warm and welcoming landing spot at their next school, and they're just ready to walk away. It is what it is. More on college football next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it is Football Full Circle. Not only does this Thursday start week four of the NFL campaign, week five of college football. Where were you the last time that Army started 4-0? Where were you the last time that Army and Navy each started 4-0? Both favorites this week looking to make that the case after a perfect and unblemished 3-0 beginning. I'll tell you where we were. We weren't even born yet. 1945. Is the last time that Army and Navy both started 4-0 undefeated in the same college football season. Army has the chance to do it first. Leasing Eye on this Thursday night in Philadelphia. The link is the site as Temple hosts Army in an AAC showdown. The Black Knights, a 12.5-point road favorite. Total is skyrocketing. 47.5. It was 43.5, 44.5 earlier this week. That's when I bet it. What do you like tonight? Can the Cadets improve to a 4-0 record?
They can, and I don't see any way Temple's defense shuts down the triple option. Again, they're a little bit more balanced this year, but at the end of the day, Army's the more complete team. Total with the Army games have screwed me in years past, so I'm not going to touch the total until maybe I see it from an in-game perspective. But I will say this big picture. Wouldn't it be fantastic? And we've never seen an undefeated Army-Navy matchup, have we? I mean, how good? And I would lobby that if they're not in running or contention for a college football playoff berth, that would be an absolute travesty to not have them in, that another conference champ might get the nod over them. I'm just saying. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah, we will see, right? We'll see exactly when this happens. Not only are the Black Knights 3-0 straight up, they are 3-0 against the spread. They have gone over in two of three games. Leasy Guy, the reason I like the over tonight and bet it much earlier this week, Army in games where they have played on a short week, the totals in those games 17 times, over in 14 of 17. Again, it is hard to stop and prepare for the triple option on a short week of preparation. Temple's not been as bad as they were the first 2 weeks. They're 2-2 against the spread this season. It's not going to be a great year for the Owls in terms of winning football games. It had been 3-9 each of the last 3 years, but still, it is a little bit better. And Lisa Guy, after all the hoopla of things that have happened off the field in college football this week, it's great to have some actual college football games on this Thursday. I won't be here tomorrow, but I'm sure you and Wetzel will talk some of the bigger games of the weekend. But let's get to the biggest game of them all. All eyes on Tuscaloosa Saturday night. A top five tilt. It's number 4 Alabama. It's number 2 Georgia. Leasy Guy, the spread, 2.5 points in favor of the Bulldogs. It would snap a 113 consecutive home game streak for the Crimson Tide as the favorites inside Bryant-Denny Stadium. The last time they were the underdog, November 3rd, 2007, against LSU, way back in Nick Saban's first year at the helm in Tuscaloosa. Let's start with that number. 2.5 points in favor of UGA. Is the right side favored?
Yes, and I know, you know, the stats and the ATS, Alabama's a dog, but I think they have the better coach, I think they have the better quarterback, and I do believe they have the better interior lines in regards to the matchup. And I know Georgia's O-line is a little bit banged up, but I don't care. I still think that they are much more consistent than what Alabama has, and that's not a knock on Milroe, it's not a knock on Kalen DeBoer. It's just that we're talking about potentially the best team in all of the land and a guy that's been there and has coached it up and recruited for specifically these type of games. It's just like Nick Saban, right? Nick Saban taught Kirby Smart. Kirby's got this team dominant in the regular season, and I'm not going against that. I went against them against Kentucky because the numbers suggested that, and it was four scores. A basic pick'em game, I'm rolling with the Bulldogs.
Yeah, Lisa Guy, I would agree with you. I think Georgia is the right side in this football game. I am sorry to say, but we've got other factors in the algo that far outweigh my factor in to the algo. Here's the case of why Georgia is a better football team on paper. Anything can happen a Saturday night on the road. In fact, this is just the third regular season matchup between the Dogs and the Tide since 2015. And since 2015, Alabama has only been booked as an underdog five total times, four of the five against UGA, that regular season matchup back in 2015. And of course, the three times they have met since 2021, all of those in the postseason, two SEC title games, and of course, the national championship game that Georgia got the last laugh in 2021. Georgia, Joe, has two losses in its last 51 games. Two losses in its last 51 games since the middle part of 2020, when the Dogs ended the year on a four-game win streak. Each of those two losses to Alabama in the SEC championship game. And last year, it was only by three. This is a Georgia team that is 49-2 over its last 51 games since the start of 2022. This Georgia team has now played in 32 games, and they have one single loss. That's it. One single loss in that time frame. They have been such a good football team, Lisey guy, and I think they will be able to contain Alabama. Now, it's going to be a great matchup. Jalen Milroe, the only Crimson Tide quarterback ever to have three consecutive games of multiple touchdown passes, multiple rushing scores, and they've got a dynamic offense under Kalen DeBoer with a young and very talented wide receiver in Ryan Williams. But I think Georgia's defense is up to the task. Total is sub 50. Does that surprise you?
No, I mean, you know, at 48.5, 49.5, I think it's fitting for, you know, these teams playing out. Big chunk plays are going to win it. And we saw, you know, that game trend typically to the over last year as well. And every time they get involved in regards to national championships or other games, it's pretty high scoring.
Yeah, absolutely so. 33-18 in the national championship over this 41-24 2021 SEC title game. Alabama cruised as an underdog over this, even last year, 27-24 over this number. Plenty more of the marquee matchups in college football coming your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We've got four ranked versus ranked matchups, four top 25 tilts on Saturday. It's the most we've had for a single college football Saturday all season long. Lisi guy, let's go to one of the other marquee matchups that we will see. Happy Valley under the lights. Not quite a whiteout, but whiteout energy is what is being called for inside Beaver Stadium. It's number 9 Penn State against number 19 Illinois. Two of the six teams that are still unbeaten in the Big Ten. You probably expect the Nittany Lions to be there. Maybe not the Illini. 4-0 this year, Lisi guy. Illinois, one of two teams in the country with multiple ranked wins. Illinois and Tennessee. And yet the spread is 17.5. in favor of the Nittany Lions with a total at 47 and a hook. Is the game going to be closer than the odds expect?
I think so. And Penn State won this game in Champaign 30-13. Last time they played was the 9 overtime game. But I still think they might have potentially the more consistent quarterback. And Drew Aller's playing well, 8 touchdowns, no interceptions. But I haven't seen him play in a big spot. Luke Altmyer has played 2 big games now. Nebraska on the road and Kansas at home, and he's won both, and he completed 77% of his passes. He's a mobile guy, and I think actually that is what plays into this cap. I like Illinois plus the 17.5. Bielma catching points on the road. I think he'll find a way to cover this number.
As he did in both of the games against top 25 foes, an underdog knocking off that ranked side under Brett Bielema. Since he took the reins in 2021, Illinois 14-8 against the spread. 9 outright wins as the underdog in that span, tied for the 4th most in college football among Power Conference teams. That's impressive. So how are they catching three scores? Well, Penn State's been really good as a favorite. 19-5-1 against the spread. Best cover percentage as a favorite since 2022 began. Listen, Lisey, there were reasons last week that I expected Nebraska to win the game against Illinois, or at least be a little bit more competitive on the ground. We did not see it. Illinois stepped up big to hold Nebraska to only 50 rushing yards. I think the key for this game, if Penn State is going to win comfortably, Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen. And the offense has been good for Penn State. Hey, you play Kent State, you're going to be able to put up some numbers, as Tennessee found out as well. But the Vols and the Nittany Lions, the only two teams in the country, Joe, averaging at least 275 through the air and 250 on the ground. Penn State has been darn good. Two other ranked versus ranked games. Let's go first to South Bend. Notre Dame laying 6.5 against Louisville. The Cards unbeaten, 3-0, with a victory and a cover last week against Georgia Tech. They're also 3-0 against the spread. Notre Dame at home under Marcus Freeman. It's been a little bit shaky in these big spots. What do you expect?
I think potentially an upset. I'll take the points with Louisville and Tyler Shuck. I think he's the more complete quarterback, throwing the football, 8 touchdowns, yeah, no interceptions. And again, Jeff Brohm, the better offensive coach. That Louisville defense is holding opposing offenses under 100 yards rushing, very solid, yeah, in the back end. And I just don't know if Riley Leonard can light them up enough to cover this number and win. So I'm going to take the upset. Give me the 176 on the money line and give me the points. I'll take Louisville.
Listen, the Cardinals last year, after Notre Dame held on in Durham against Duke in that great game against Riley Leonard down the stretch for the comeback to keep their season going at that point, they had the huge letdown, also as near a touchdown favorite against Louisville. The Cardinals won outright. In fact, it's the only time Louisville has been an underdog under Jeff Brohm since the start of 2023. But a big difference last year, Lisey, was the Cardinals on the ground. But we don't have Jawar Jordan there anymore. It's been a weird mix of Donald Cheney, the Miami transfer, and some young freshman backs. That should play to Notre Dame, who has been one of the best passing defenses in all of college football under Marcus Freeman. Top 10 in his first 2 years. Really solid once again this year. But if Notre Dame cannot play from in front, and it's put onto the arm and not the legs of Riley Leonard, there's your upset special. The fourth and final ranked game, Lisey Guy, loses a little bit of the luster as Oklahoma State lost at home last week to Utah, even the Utes without Cam Rising. And of course, K-State found out what late night in Provo is all about. Kansas State, 5.5-point favorite against the Pokes on Saturday, Joe. For both of these teams trying to keep their hopes of winning a Big 12 title.
I like the Pokes with Ollie Gordon. Expect a bounce back spot outright. They've won 4 of the last 5 against Kansas State.
Ollie Gordon II, 3 consecutive games of less than 50 yards. Does he find it against Kansas State? He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a 1-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the Pineapple Citrus and Cherry Limeade Sparkling Energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,